Well, again, good morning, everyone. Welcome, scouts and leaders and family members. Welcome, other guests and members, and those of you joining us online. My name is Ray. You can call me Ray. I assist as one of the pastors here, and I'm, as you just heard, we got a text yesterday. I was waking up thinking I had a free Saturday. And Pastor JJ was letting us know that he was down with the flu and he needed a pinch hitter. And I volunteered. So you don't need to do that. No. Wait until after you hear the product. To switch metaphors in sports, I decided to call an audible and go with a different play from the playbook. That is switch scriptures to Mark 1, 21 to 39. This is kind of in keeping with what JJ's been doing. Last week he read from Luke where Jesus went to the synagogue in his hometown of Nazareth and there unrolled the scroll of the prophet Isaiah and read and then said, "Today the scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." And then the scripture he was playing for today continues from there, where they're all saying, "Oh, this is interesting. Isn't this wonderful? Isn't this Joseph's son?" And we've heard, Jesus, that you did great things in Capernaum. How about doing them here? Well, this scripture is about the great things he did in Capernaum back before he went to Nazareth. And this is Mark chapter 1. Verse 21 through 39. They went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, he entered the synagogue and taught. They were astounded at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. And just then there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." And the unclean spirit, convulsing him and crying with a loud voice, came out of him. They were all amazed, and they kept on asking one another, "What is this? A new teaching? With authority. He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." At once, his fame began to spread throughout the surrounding region of Galilee. As soon as they left the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now, Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told him about her at once. And he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. And then the fever left her, and she began to serve them. That evening at sundown, they brought to him all who were sick or possessed with demons, and the whole city was gathered around the door, and he cured many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons, and he would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him. In the morning, while it was still very dark, he got up and went out to a deserted place, and there he prayed. And Simon and his companions hunted for him, and when they found him, they said to him, "Everyone is searching for you." He answered, "Let us go on to the neighboring towns so that I may proclaim the message there also, for that is what I came out to do." And he went throughout Galilee proclaiming the message in their synagogues and casting out demons. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God, indeed. Well, again, after I've read the scripture, let us pray. Lord, pour out your Holy Spirit on us as we gather here this morning, that as we've heard the scripture and your word is proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you are saying to us today. Amen. Amen. Well, Mark's gospel is a little bit different from some of the others. In just a few verses, wherever you're looking almost, there's a lot happening, a lot of action. Mark's gospel is like this dizzying whirlwind. Jesus starts his ministry, and it's like he hits the ground room. He's just running, boom, 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 everything's happening. Here he is showing up at the Jordan to be baptized, and then here he is being driven out into the wilderness to be tempted by Satan. And then boom, 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 suddenly he appears in Galilee preaching that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel, he says. And then he shows up along the Sea of Galilee calling out some fishermen to go and drop what they're doing and follow him. Let's go fishing for people, he says. And immediately, boom, 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 they drop their nets, they follow him, and suddenly they're off to Capernaum, where on the Sabbath day, Jesus goes into the synagogue, he starts preaching, but there's this heckler in the crowd who starts yelling at him, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." Right then and there, Jesus confronts the evil spirit that is in this man, casts it out, and everyone is shocked and amazed. A new teaching, they say. He commands, and even the evil spirits obey him. Like shockwaves, suddenly, this just spreads throughout Galilee, and suddenly, his fame is out there, and people are immediately seeking him out in droves for healing and help and relief. Boom, 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 it's happening. And all this that I've just described to you happens just in the first half of the first chapter of Mark's gospel. Okay? Forget about nice birth stories. In Mark, we get thrust immediately into the middle of messy ministry with troubled, hurting people. And that kind of reminds me of a situation that some of us know of here on a regular basis. Down at the United Methodist Men's Clothes Closet on Thursday mornings at 5:30 a.m., we open the doors and people come pouring in off the streets there near the state capitol, opening the doors at the annex at First United Methodist Church, where they offer breakfast on Tuesday and Thursday mornings. And then the District United Methodist Men are there with the clothes closet every Thursday morning. And these people, they line up in droves looking for food and clothing and maybe just a safe, warm place to hang out for an hour or two. And just this last Thursday morning, I would say we had more than the usual number of people who were yelling. Not at anyone in particular, just yelling at the world in general or crying out or just wandering around aimlessly. And for most of us who volunteer there, it's a pretty sobering confrontation with the hard realities of the kind of human suffering that's right out there on the streets with us and the various kinds of evil that can overwhelm any or all of us in this world. We do get some satisfaction of offering some modest tokens of help and relief, and it's especially gratifying when someone leaves us with a smile on their face and an extra spring in their step. That doesn't always happen, but we're grateful when we can help in any way. But the point is here that we at least get some appreciation for the kind of throng that was suddenly coming to Jesus here in Mark's gospel, and we can appreciate the boom, boom, boom pace of Mark's gospel. It's like a flood. Jesus is on the move. He's telling us God is here to confront the evil that afflicts us. Your salvation is at hand. Your help is here before you. See, I'm casting out demons and healing your diseases in front of your eyes. And the people responded as if there was a firestorm of hope breaking out. And frankly, even the good news evokes a kind of chaos in the land. Now, the point I really want to get to, however, just briefly this morning, is what happens over in verse 35 of chapter 1. Lose me? There we go. Mark tells us that in the morning, while it was still very dark, he got up and he went out to a deserted place, and there he prayed. In the middle of all this boom, boom, boom activity, this crescendo of breathless crowds swarming, confrontations with broken spirits and the fear-mongering evils of the day, there is this place of quiet silence and withdrawal where Jesus gets up long before most people are waking up and he goes out to this lonely place to pray. And there's a message for all of us tucked into that one little verse, that if Jesus needed and longed for that deserted place of prayer in order to face the stresses of ministry and a challenging day, you and I probably need it even more. Probably even more than food and water or sleep, we need prayer. We need communion with God. We need key moments of focusing and centering and connecting with God's love, God's holiness, his awesomeness, God's claim and call upon us, his purpose for our lives. Father Henry Nouwen famously wrote frequently about our human quest for places of solitude to find some kind of spiritual renewal, or as some of us would put it, looking for spiritual resources to recharge our batteries, to lift up our hearts and souls, especially when we get overwhelmed by a barrage of emotional and mental distractions, or when we get weighed down by the headlines of tragedy and gloom. Airlines? An airplane crashing? Henry Nouwen wrote about it in this way. He says, in the lonely place, Jesus finds the courage to follow God's will and not his own will, to speak God's words and not his own, to do God's work, not his own. And Jesus says it this way, the words I say to you, I do not speak as from myself. It is the Father living in me who is doing this work. You can find that in John 14:10. It is the Father living in me who is doing this work, he says. And Henry now and again adds, it says, it's in that lonely place where Jesus enters into intimacy with the Father. And it's in that place that his ministry is born. And somewhere, he says, we know this too. We know also that without this place of prayer, our lives are in danger. Somewhere we know that without silence, words lose their meaning. Without listening, speaking no longer heals. That without distance, closeness cannot cure. Somewhere we know that without this lonely place of prayer, our actions just quickly become empty gestures. Now, I would add that it is in moments of prayerful solitude that we discover the meaning and purpose of who we are as creatures of love, born of the God of love. Our reconnection with God's love then can guide us more assuredly into breaking down barriers between us and others, into building bridges of love, even deep relationships of love with others. With the power of God's love guiding us, prayerful solitude leads us into prayerful fellowship with others, where we rediscover the healing power of love among us. Members of this church who participate in some of our various small group prayer gatherings can bear witness how these times of prayer together help to fill us up anew with God's love. And that experience helps to bind us together in a fellowship of caring Christian love. Our United Methodist Men's Prayer Breakfast on Wednesday mornings, our Thursday night prayer services on every month, our Stephen Ministry gatherings, our caregiving ministry, our Sunday school classes, and yes, even here in worship on Sunday mornings, our prayer experiences together draw us deeper into holy connection with each other that helps awaken us to the reality of and the calling of God's love in our lives. And universally, we will testify that we need it, especially in the face of threats and challenges of our daily lives in a very troubled and hurting world, in a complex and chaotic world. Researchers have discovered strong evidence that in times of great stress and anxiety, most people, whether they identify as people of faith or not, most people are very open to the possibility of prayer as a resource. They turn to prayer for help. Many of us have this inbuilt reflex that we turn to God for comfort and peace in times of need. During the first months of the pandemic back in 2020, like in March and April and May, researchers discovered that Google searches or any kind of searches for prayer or religious resources of guides for prayer, those searches skyrocketed, not only here, around the world. There were some estimates that maybe at least half the population of the world had prayed for the end of the pandemic. As the saying goes, there are no atheists in foxholes. Just back a couple months ago in December, I shared a report with our Stephen ministers, our caregiving ministry here, about there are many social scientific studies that testify to the value of prayer in helping people through times of chronic stress and crisis and grief. That offering prayer with or for another can make a measurable difference in the health and strength of our lives. The Apostle Paul has a great spiritual prescription, therefore, for all of us that has borne the test of time. In his letter to the Philippian church, chapter 4, Philippians 4, verse 4, he says, "Rejoice, rejoice always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Whatever is troubling you, whatever is bugging you, whatever the source of your worry and anxiety, let everything with prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." May it be so. Amen. Let us pray. Loving God, thank you for the help, the hope, the healing, the love and joy we have constantly available to us through your gift of prayer. Help us to keep practicing and learning and growing in possibilities of our prayer life, both in our moments of solitude with you and in our reaching out to build fellowships of faith with each other, that we may live out the promises of your saving love in this life and in the life to come. It's all in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.